selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they war, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight, and die, this God forgives. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower class and social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no more things, cut, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, the best little network on the whole darn internet. And I'm your host for the next hour. Now, I guess I'll just start off. We've been busy with this court thing here for the last bit over this raw milk problem. Not a problem. It's just we got a government that doesn't like competition of any kind. And they set up the Milk Act and the Milk Marketing Board to control milk in the province of Ontario. And so, let's see, did 3 days last week and did Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday last week in court in Newmarket, which a lot of driving back and forth. It's, I don't know, 2 hours, 15 minutes each way. And we were down there yesterday all day. And I knew before we even got there yesterday, the first 3 days, the first 2 days, as it was only supposed to be 2 days, 1 day for the Crown and 1 day for the milk cooperative. And so the Crown wasted both days because there were so many people at the courthouse. They had to open up an overflow room behind that particular courtroom, and it was a huge overflow. I mean, it was a big room, and it was basically full, and the court was full, and so the Crown knows what's cooking here, and they're tricky little buggers. So they were only supposed to have 1 day. The judge let them have 2 days in order that the people had booked off work to support the fight wouldn't be there on the next day. So we did the first 3 days in the same courtroom in the basement, big courtroom and a big overflow room. And we drove down there yesterday. You know, I'm thinking they're not going to have it in the same courtroom. They're going to move it somewhere else. So they moved it up from the basement to the fourth floor. And the courtroom was somewhat smaller, no overflow room, and which means it's excluded a lot of people from hearing what was going on in the submissions or the summations. And so they eventually opened up the jury box so more people could get into the courtroom, but it was really set up lousy because in front of where the seats were for the gallery were four or five prisoner boxes with double layer plexiglass. So you had to look through the plexiglass to see what was going on in the court. They did all this stuff on purpose. And then this went on till about 4 o'clock. We took a break. And then the deal was he's going to take a 10-minute break, says the judge, and come back for the last 5 minutes for Michael to finish up. And I was out in the hallway with some people and thought, God, this is dragging on a long time. So turns out that the government side took up the first 2 days. Then the milk cooperative had 1 day on Wednesday, and then nothing went on again till yesterday. So that breaks things up. And when they were done yesterday, the milk cooperative, then the judge let the Crown have another 20 minutes or whatever to rehash its case. Which, if I'd been in the courtroom, I would have objected to that because they're supposed to have equal time, and they didn't get equal time. And when the Crown took the first 2 days, I should have been in for the Crown, but the judge gave them time to come back and reassert their position at the end. But then that's the way these things are set up. Anyways, it was a pretty positive day. There was a lot of people there and a lot of very dedicated people. And there was actually quite a few children. And, these were the children of parents who, can't bring themselves to allow their children to be in the, public school system anymore. And I met a very a lady I met yesterday I hadn't met before. It was from Russia, and also met a lady from Germany. And these people have a lot of history that, you know, because they lived there, that we don't really have. And they were very, very interesting to talk to. But the one Russian lady, she had some kids in the school, and you know, she went to the school to discuss something with the teacher, and she's a very, very mild-mannered, quiet-talking woman. So even if she was angry, I don't think it would manifest itself in her language or her actions. And, you know, she said she was so disgusted because it's like they didn't want her in the school. In fact, at the end of it, they told her not to come back to the school. All the rooms are locked down when the kids are in class. And she was trying, I forget what it was exactly she was asking. It wasn't any too complicated, but the teacher didn't want to answer her questions. So, of course, the teacher feels intimidated. This is what they're taught. You know, if somebody's asking you a question and you don't want to answer it, and we don't want to be talking to the parents anyways, because the job is for the state to steal the children, which they have now. But if someone presses you for an answer that you know you can't give them, it kind of lets the cat out of the box or out of the bag. And so just call security and we'll usher the parent out of the school. And that's exactly what they did. So she pulled her kids out of the school, and that's that for that. Which is a good thing, because, you know, these kids that were at the courthouse yesterday, they're all drinking raw milk. God forbid, eh? They're all drinking raw milk. They're all eating extremely healthy food. And you can tell that because they're not antsy kids, you know, and they're not bouncing off the walls and stuff. They're very calm, having a lot of fun, but they're not running rampant all over the place. And they seem extremely intelligent for their ages. Yeah, but that's what good food will do to you. So we had some really, really good conversations about what's wrong, the deceptions, the legal system, and what we're going to have to do to fix it. So I think I may have encouraged some people to run in local elections yesterday. And because that's the only place we can get power. It's the only place we can get power. You know, like I told the Russian lady, you know, you should run for the school board. We got, you know, it's not just the local council. It's the school board is huge because they got the kids. And lunchtime yesterday was just something else. Some of the farmers loaded up a truck and brought it to the court. And again, we had a wonderful lunch out in the parking lot, fresh milk and fresh salads. And the meat was absolutely phenomenal. All organic grass-fed beef. Just beautiful food. It wasn't beef, it was pork. But regardless, it was just so freaking good. So it was nice to sit out in the parking lot. And, you know, CTV was there again. It's the only media in the 4 days that this went on. The only media in the whole freaking province that showed up at that courthouse to cover this injunction against food was CTV. Now, CBC, the Communist Broadcasting Corporation, was there last Wednesday and covering another story. And, you know, said, you know, if you're going to be here, if you're here at 4:30 when they get out of court, you know, shoot some film. But they couldn't do that. So we left them some numbers, the reporter some numbers to call, told them to go look at some of the videos from the past, raids and stuff, and come back on Monday. They kind of half-assed assured us they'd be there Monday, but they didn't show up. So the CTV guy, you know, he shot some film again, which is good. But the media has really gone silent on this one, which is unfortunate. But no matter, it was a long day. It was a tiring day. I'm still tired from that. I think we talked most of the day. There's a lot of discussion going on. But it was all extremely positive. It was really positive. I wish everybody could have been there. I wish the whole damn province could have been there. It was very inspiring yesterday to see a group of, I don't know, probably there was probably only maybe 100 people there yesterday for the proceedings, but maybe a little bit more. But they were all inspiring each other. I mean, these people are committed to good food, and they are committed that they're going to beat this. I mean, it's not been much of a fight, 23 years. You know, the legislature accommodates the Muslims, accommodates the gay pride, it funds the gay pride. It funds every nefarious thing coming out of the UN. But milk somehow is a huge, huge, huge problem that can't be accommodated. Just makes you shake your head. The amount of harm that's been caused to these good people is just way past unreasonable. And the amount of money that's been thrown at this thing is completely out of hand. But what do they care? It's your money, not theirs, they're spending. And they got to keep the courthouses full because that's how they get paid. But when you look at the legal system, it's a complete conflict of interest. somehow the judicial puts itself off as separate, you know, that it's not influenced by government. Well, who's paying the judges and the crowns and the court clerks and the courthouses and everything else? You are. They say, you know, we're independent of the government. Baloney. Baloney. They get the paychecks from the government. And you can only be beholden to one master, which makes the legal system a complete joke. Not a good joke, a bad joke. Because every day across this nation and United States and Australia and Britain and most everywhere else, these ticks or vampires are just feeding off of the good people, haven't harmed anybody. And not only are they feeding off of the people that didn't do any harm, the other good people out there working their tails off, trying to keep a roof over their heads for their families and food on the table, are paying for this house of cards to continue, this deception called the legal system to continue. So they're feeding off of everybody. They're feeding off the good men and women through their taxes, and they're feeding off the good men and women through the fines and the harassments and that. It costs everybody money. It costs the working man money, and it costs that, the one being accused falsely, money and time and effort. It's the most bogus excuse for law that's ever hit the planet. We're going to have to change that. For sure, we're going to have to change that. Now, well, I might as well throw this in here. I guess while I'm yammering on about milk, there's a little clip. It's not a very long clip. It's only 1 point, so it's only a minute and 2 seconds, but they have to do the intro and everything. Or no, I guess it's longer than that. But anyways, I'll throw this in, and you can take a boo at it. And I really gave CTV a thank you because he, CTV's the only one that comes. So we were doing toasts and that to those who brought the food, and so I said a little piece to the CTV. It's not on the clip, of course, but, you know, tell him how much we appreciated him being the only media in the whole freaking province that showed up. And he gave us a thumbs up. So I'll throw that clip in and you can take a boo at it. It's very short. And again, I want to thank CTV for showing up and at least getting that out in the media. But I don't think it went very far, I think, because they're the Barry part. So CTV's broken up into all kinds of different cities, right? And because I think this is News Barrie. It's not News Toronto or anything. So I don't know that it ever got past Barrie. But regardless, somebody sees it. And I hope people pass it around. And then we can hopefully get a little bit of airtime on this. But, you know, I got to write a piece because I think what we can do is we can really use this. I learned a lot, not about raw milk so much. I already know who's making it. I know how safe it is. But I think I learned a lot about the commercial barn side of it. Which I think I can make a lot of people not want to drink milk because it's the dairy industry, the commercial dairy industry, along with the Milk Act, and along with what have I got running here in the background now? I got something. Oh, here we are. But anyways, I think I have enough now on the commercial side, on the Milk Marketing Board, the Protection Racket, and the government side of it, which is another racket, to get people to the point where they don't want to touch commercial milk. You know, it's the whole program here for the last 23 years has been to get people to avoid drinking raw milk or real milk, unadulterated milk, just by, you know, just the old terrorism, right, kind of propaganda to fear people. And once they understand exactly what these commercial barns are, I think they're going to puke. I really do. I think they're going to just throw up. They ain't going to want to drink milk. And the interesting thing, when we were having lunch yesterday, talking to some of the farmers, and they're saying that, you know, the Milk Marketing Board's having a hell of a time now because about 2% of the population per year, or they're losing about 2% share a year, and they don't know what to do about it. And so, you know, maybe people are just wising up and they're stopping drinking the pasteurized milk because they've been looking around. You know, maybe all the fear mongering media that's been fired at Michael Schmidt and his co-op people and other raw milk producers, you know, because propaganda will blow back in your face eventually. And, you know, if you just keep whining the same crap all the time, people eventually are going to go, well, wait a minute, let me go look into this. That could be why they're losing 2% per year of their customer base. Maybe people are waking up to the fact that pasteurized milk is absolutely no good for your system. Maybe they've been looking into the treatment of the animals. Because this case shouldn't have been about whether raw milk is safe or not. It should have been about the abuse of the animals in the commercial barns. That would have been a better case. And like I said before, that younger farmer that when he didn't, you know, he's young enough, he doesn't know nothing about, he just grew up when everything was pasteurized and you buy quota and you go with it from there. And marketing's all looked after for you and everything. Distribution's all looked after. All you got to do is get the milk out of the cow, get it into the cooler, and then they suck it out of there and put it in the trucks, and away it goes. And then you get a check. So most of them, at least guys his age, wouldn't really even remember a normal farm. But when he did the experiment, and I was talking about it again yesterday, when he did the experiment and saw the difference in the milk, he couldn't believe it. He just couldn't believe his eyes. You know, he took that commercial cow out of the barn and put it out in the pasture and let it eat grass, which is what a cow is supposed to be eating, not corn and soy and all that kind of stuff, or soy. So he just set it out there in the grass and let it eat. And he gave it 2 months to try to clean its system out a little bit, and then he milked it. And then he milked a commercial cow, which is his other cows. And when he had held the two bottles of milk up, jaw dropped. He couldn't believe the difference in the consistency of the milk, the color of the milk, the cream layer on the milk. And, he thought milk comes out of cows. What's the big deal? Until he did. Basically, what he did was he treated that one cow like Michael treats his cows and the other raw milk farmers treat their cows. No stress. And eat what they're supposed to eat. Don't try to push the milk production. The milk production out of these grass-fed cows is considerably less volume per day than out of a commercial cow. But then Michael has cows out in his farm that are 16 freaking years old, whereas the I think the average age of his cow milkers is 8 years, but they do have 16-year-old cows out there. And as far as I know, they're still milking. Whereas the average age of a commercial cow is 42 months at the time it expires. Now, if you have a cow that can live in 16 years and the commercial cows are living 42 months, then you got to start asking yourself, what kind of abuse are these animals under? And the more I talk to especially that one commercial milk farmer, the worse it got. I found out that the commercial cows can't even go into heat. One farmer told me he was talking to a commercial farmer friend of his, and they had to needle that one cow 15 times to shock its system into doing what it's supposed to do naturally, and that's to go into heat. Because everything, them cattle are so stressed out, them cows are so stressed out, they got the wrong food going into them, they got too many needles going in them, they got too many antibiotics going into them, and their whole system is just designed and push to do nothing but puke out milk. And it takes away from the rest of the system. That's probably why they die so freaking quick. And it's absolutely 100% animal abuse. And I'm thinking that once people realize just how abused these animals are, will solidify the need for real milk and put a punch back on the commercial side. One is about lifestyle, both for the people that consume the product and for the animals themselves. And the other is just simply a commercial venture. And the cows don't matter a damn. The feed don't matter a damn. What you drive into the animal don't matter a damn. Just get the most milk you can out of this thing while it's alive. Period. Doesn't matter how bad the milk is, because we're just going to sterilize it anyway. In other words, we kill it. Basically, white water that you're buying. Because there's nothing in there left anymore that's any good. So you're just buying waste, really. You're buying the waste product of an animal that's been abused and misfed and mistreated and too many needles and whatnot into it. And like I was talking to them, I said, when you look at the commercial cow barns and how those cows are being treated and how they're being fed, and they're not being fed anything they're supposed to be eating. It's just about production. And you go back to those swill barns in the 30s, beside the breweries, being fed the waste from the breweries, and the animals are in overcrowded conditions, dirty conditions, and the animals are getting sick, and they got to put chalk in the milk to make it look white, and the government allowed those barns to stay in business until people got really sick and died. and then came out with the, oh my God, we've got to do something for safety. And what do you know? We'll just pasteurize the milk and then it'll be safe. Well, all the milk outside of the swill houses was safe, was always safe. These are grass-fed cows that are not pushed. They're not filled with antibiotics and that are getting the food that they're supposed to be eating. And those cows, other than the swill barn cows, lived long, happy, easy-going lives. So when you compare the swill barn of yesterday in the 30s to the commercial barns of today and see that in both of those barns, they have the wrong food going into the animal. They have overcrowded conditions. The conditions aren't as clean as they should be because they don't need to be, because you're going to sterilize the milk when it comes out. But that younger farmer said that, you know, that bottle of milk that he, or the jar of milk that he produced from that grass-fed cow, it said it looked totally different than the commercial milk. It had a yellowy tinge to it, which it does. And it had a really thick, beautiful cream layer on the top of it when it settled. And the commercial milk jar was more white. But he said what really got him was the cream layer. The cream layer on the commercial animal was really thin and watery. So then he did his next experiment. He put the two jugs in the fridge and left them there for a week or two. And the grass-fed raw milk, well, they're both raw because neither one got pasteurized, but the grass-fed milk out of the non-stressed animal was perfect. And he started to describe the jar of milk that came out of his commercial cows, and then he's kind of getting to the point he wants to puke, so he quit with that. And he didn't know any of this stuff, and he's been a milk farmer his whole freaking life. And now that he's seen the difference, he's trying to figure out how in the hell he's going to dump the quota and move his farm over to where it should be, and that's grass-fed. He's already figured out how many cows his farm can handle, right? Because you got to have enough pasture for them. You know, when you run in a commercial barn, you just bring the feed in, so you can cram a lot more animals onto the property than the property can handle. But they're not feeding off the property. Just bring the feed in, throw it in the bins. So he's working that out for himself, and I'm really pleased for him that he'll he's figuring just how many cattle he can run on there. And then he's going to be doing the very same thing. He's going to be producing raw milk. He's disgusted, and he's been a milk farmer his whole life. And he's absolutely disgusted after he did his experiment. You see, the raw milk, if you look into this, the raw milk, it doesn't really go bad. It might go sour. Right, and that's where you had your that's, they had a purpose for sour milk, right? So the milk didn't hurt anybody. The pathogens in the milk, and I have a video, so I don't know where it is right now. I'll dig it out some other time. But I saw a video. I think it came out of the States, and it was very good because he was talking about the swill barns too, and he was actually talking about how the bacteria operates in a corn-fed, soy-fed cow compared to a grass-fed cow. And it's very important, okay, because basically the pathogens and that and the bacteria in raw milk, which is, you need that bacteria because it's good bacteria, but the way it operates through the gut of the cow, the corn and the soy versus the grass, it has a whole different way of going through the system. it has a whole different outcome coming out. So, well, they both come out of a cow, it's not the same product. And that's why they got to pasteurize the cow milk coming out of these commercial barns, because it will kill you. It'll make you damn sick anyway. So it's not the raw milk that's making people sick. And more people are finding, you know, and I'm not an expert on it. I mean, I've milked cows. I've seen the difference between the two barns personally. I'm just going from my uncle's barns to doing relieving somebody so you get a weekend off at a commercial barn. I've seen the difference in the style of the barns, the color of the milk, and the cleanliness of the barns, and the overall health of the cows. And they got to pasteurize the milk, because if they didn't pasteurize the milk, you'd end up in the same position that they were back in the 30s in the swill barns. There'd be sick people all over the place because it ain't fit for consumption. So they got to sterilize it, just like they want to start irradiating meats in that now if they haven't already done it, because the conditions of these animals and what's going to these animals is so foul to the system of the animals, it ain't safe to eat. So, well, we're going to irradiate everything now. It'll give it a longer shelf life, make it safe. All they're doing is killing any nutrition that would be in that product. And that's what pasteurization does to the milk. It just kills it. You know, it's not a glass of healthy, nutritious food. It's just a glass of white liquid that is dead. And very hard, you know, there's so many people that can't even digest the milk anymore, you know. One guy out of California that was up here, he's a producer down in California where it's legal where he is, but, you know, he made a very good point. He said that people aren't lactose intolerant, they're pasteurization intolerant, you know. They're poisoning us with what we're eating. They don't want people to have access to good, healthy food. I mean, look at the bread. How many people, who the hell ever heard now I forgot the word. What kind of bread's Peter got to eat? Gluten. Who the hell ever heard of gluten intolerance? Where the hell that come from? Now, I'm not an expert on that either, but from what I've read, it's the glyphosate that they're spraying on everything. It's not gluten your body is not being able to handle. It's the poison they're putting on the grain that your body can't handle. I wish everybody could have come and had lunch yesterday. It was just freaking glorious. And the day and Wednesday's lunch was just I got to tell you, man, if I could eat that stuff all day, every day, I'd be on it. The homemade bread that they had there yesterday, homemade buns, you know, it's all organic wheat. And rye. It's all 100%, everything's 100% organic. Like what's his name? Paul, that was there, a farmer who I really like, him and his wife. They really put out for this. But it was Michael that got Paul into the raw milk business. And, you know, they just appreciate what they're doing now. I mean, these guys are real, what you would call real farmers. It just takes me back to, you know, I was telling them, I says, you know, this reminds me of when I used to get dumped at my uncle's farm for 2 weeks in the summer when I was a kid. You know, they had a huge family, 10 or 11 kids. And, you know, I don't know, the farm was probably not more than 100 acres. And nobody ever got sick out there. Everybody was healthy as a horse. Everybody ate really healthy. All the food was natural. I remember being out there one time, and my aunt says, and my cousin, she's a month difference in age, and she told us to go get some more bacon or something. And we're out in the farm. I'm thinking to myself, well, how do we get to the store? Right? You know, I was kind of scratching my head. My aunt's telling us to go get some bacon. We're like 12 years old or 11 years old. How the hell are we going to get to town? And my cousin says, come on, let's go get some bacon. Okay. I'll follow her out. And we end up in the smokehouse. And she just carves the bacon off, haul her back to the house. Really nice, thick slices of bacon. It was glorious. No nitrates in it, right? I mean, when you think of the amount of garbage that they throw in, everything that you consume, you wonder how we're still alive. But then, you know, give you a good idea why so many people are taking so many pharmaceuticals. Because all those poisons going into your system most certainly ain't doing it any good, and they get reactions to it. And then you go to the doctor and say, I don't really feel that well, you know. Oh, something. Oh, no, no, we got something for that. Here's a prescription. Now go take that. And if you do get some, some side effects for the prescription, come back and see me, and I have another prescription that will help alleviate those symptoms. You know, he doesn't say, you know what, I think maybe it's probably all the poison you're eating. You know, you need to clean your system out. No. We have all these different prescription pharmaceuticals that we can give you to mask the discomfort that you feel. There, isn't that better now? Now go fill your face with some more poison, boy or girl. It's really disgusting. I mean, when you really sit down and think about it, it's disgusting. There's no reason, except there's no money in it for the pharmaceutical industry. There's no money in it for the pesticide business. There's no money in it for the Monsanto seed business. They control the game, but we got to wrestle control away from them and leave them standing there with nothing. You know, we ain't buying your crap, because we don't need to buy your crap, because we can actually grow healthy food. And I don't know how that's such a big deal. I mean, we grew healthy food all the way up to probably into the 60s. That's my first recollection of it anyways. That's the first time I saw fields being sprayed where I grew up was probably... 65 or somewhere in there, 60, somewhere in there, mid 60s or early 60s. That's my first recollection. I'd never seen a field being sprayed. I mean, I saw lots of farmers, we used to always be in their fields, but I don't recall seeing any of them being sprayed till somewhere in the 60s. And then all the creeks we used to just drink out of whenever we felt like it, when we were out in the bush or out doing whatever we were doing, I never thought twice of it. All of a sudden, we got foam floating down our creeks, and now we can't drink it. We got to put water in canteens if we're going out for the day. Now, that was back in the 60s. Now, I also remember about that time period, we went from up near Ottawa down to Sarnia, where my aunt lived, and her family, and we stopped along Lake Ontario on the way down, went down to the water, and I couldn't freaking believe it. You know, there's all this foam in the water, dead fish all along the shoreline. And so that was back in the 60s, mid-early 60s. And we've been poisoning the land When you poison the land, it runs off into the water. And we've been doing that since at least the early mid-60s. And we've just continually ramped it up. And then we got the GMOs going. I mean, I still buy bananas, but I hate them because they're not bananas. You know, my tomatoes aren't tomatoes. My bananas aren't bananas. My potatoes aren't potatoes. It's like the law, eh? You know, they've done everything. They've messed everything up. You know, a human and legal, those two words are not found in the King James Bible. Law and man is found there, but not human and legal, because human and legal are color of, similar to, like, but not. And that's what our foods become. It looks like a tomato. It looks like a potato. It looks like a freaking banana. It looks like a glass of milk. But it's all color of, similar to, like, but not food. That we have got to get this changed around. And we're gonna. I was so freaking inspired by the people I was talking to yesterday. My Aunt Helen was there yesterday, not my real Aunt Helen, but I'm her adopted nephew, I guess, now. She's going to be 90 here shortly. And she probably outmoved most of the people listening to this show. This lady's got some serious go in her. And that Jamaican lady, Ruth, an amazing woman. And the people from the Ukraine I met, and the people from Germany I met, and the lady from Russia I met. These are just these people are bound and determined that we're going to fix this. You know? And it's like I've said, and so many other people have said for so long, all we got to do is stand up. Everybody's talking to the courthouse agree. We don't want violence because they want violence. We can see the violence in the past history. That's the ticket they're looking for, is the violence. But we don't want to give them what they want. And everybody at the courthouse agrees this is a spiritual, psychological war, and they have weakened our spirits, weakened our minds, and weakened our spines to the point, like Brzezinski said, you know, take 2.5-3 generations to basically mind numb these people to the point they're just, you know, total, they can't stand up. But when you get a group of people like that together who, you know, a lot don't know, they know more than they did a year ago, that's for sure. But they're searching for that information now. And I remember Michael came out, he came out of the courtroom for a break there once. He's leaning against the wall, so I went over and got him by the shoulders and in the front, right? Put my hands on his shoulders, and I says, how's it going in there? He says, pretty good. How's it going out here? I said, pretty good. I says, these people are ready now. You know, they're sucking this information up like a sponge. And he said, you know why? And I says, because enough time's passed. He says, no, it's because they've been eating good food, and their brains are becoming sharper. Their brains are functioning again. And he may have a point there. These are very, it's just amazing. You know, I used to get so mad, you know, you try to have some kind of a half-assed intelligent discussion on something. And these people would look at you with a blank stare. It was pathetic. I hate that. I've always hated that. So when you get into this with this group of people here, and they go all the way from like Helen around 90. This was really nice yesterday. Helen's going to be 90 soon. All the way down to kids that are like 2 years old. It was beautiful. It was the cross section I've been looking for so, so long. Like I told Helen, I said, this is brilliant. Finally, finally. You know, because you, at your age, have an important role to play. Okay? You've got some history. You've got some knowledge that you can pass down the line here. Okay? Because your generation at your age knows things I don't know. Okay? And so on and so forth, down till we get to the kids. Right? So you got to be Aunt Helen to all these little kids. She says, I am. I'm beautiful. Right? Because the state only wants the children. We got to get the children back into the hands of the families and the neighborhoods. We got to get this constant, you know, government hand on the child nonsense. We got to slap it away. So it was pretty enjoyable. Except I'm no good. I find this thing that I fall asleep in court. I went into the court for a couple hours, and the seats were absolutely badass uncomfortable. I'm used to courtrooms where they have the court is part of the church, so they have like pews. You know, they have the rounded seat and the rounded back. Well, they're made out of oak. They're quite comfortable. These things were like the back seat of a new SUV, just hard as a board and square. Just about as uncomfortable as you could possibly find. But I always find I fall asleep. I'm nodding off in court, just like I always nodded off in church, right? When I was a kid, I'd go to church and go to sleep. You know, I don't know what the hell that's about. I was having a bugger of a time keeping my eyes open yesterday, even when they dragged us through that 14-month nonsense from the false arrest, which they finally withdrew. But even when we were in the court, and I was a participant in the court, if the court was talking to somebody else, one of the other people or whatever, I just nod off. You know, I remember the judge shutting the court down a couple of days early. He says, you know, because I was older than the rest of them, and he would think that I was out of gas, and we couldn't continue because the old guy's falling asleep all over the place. This is what happens. I don't know why that is. Probably because it's so foreign, and it's so unreal, and it's so much a lie. I'm really not interested in it. Even when I'm involved in it, I'm not that interested in it. You know, it's one of the girls, I don't know if she's listening tonight, but she makes me smile every time. And I'm not going to say her name, but, you know, she was Roman Catholic. And she's really got her stuff together. She's got some kids in that. And, you know, she says, I don't go to the church, because I realize you don't have to go to the church. But if I ever go to a Catholic church again and I walk into that Catholic church, I guarantee you that it will instantaneously catch fire. That's how much I'm disgusted by this stuff. So Paul, my buddy who's been driving back and forth down there, he heard her talking about that. He came over because he's got some stories. He's going, he looks at her and he says, hi. He says, I'm a recovering Catholic. It was pretty funny. So they got to talk about their stuff. And I always wanted, they tell me stories about the Catholic schools. Eh? And where I grew up in Renfrew, Ontario, I went to the Renfrew Collegiate, which was just a school, a high school, and right across the street was the Catholic high school. And I had some friends that went to that high school, and they would tell me stories about the nuns. And I, what are you talking about? They're just old ladies. What are you, give me a break, right? you know. But then this lady and Paul were telling stories about the nuns. And, you know, I said, the only attachment I have to these nuns was the nun scene in the Blues Brothers movie, where she kind of floats over and the door opens by itself and they come in and Aykroyd says something or Belushi says something and she pulls out the yardstick and starts beating on him. And both Paul and this lady go, "That's it." And I said, I thought they were over the top on it. No, that's pretty normal for a nun. So I never did have the opportunity to go to a Catholic school. Would have been interesting. I don't know if I could have took a nun out. I think they're pretty tough. You should have had a football team with the nuns. You know, probably could have won some cups or something. They play dirty, eh? But anyways, the court case is over for now, so we're going to have to wait. I got a bad feeling they're going to put the injunction through, which means that then they will come with criminal charges if they continue to move the milk. They're going to come after the farm, and it's going to get probably somewhat ugly. I don't mean ugly in, you know, broken noses and that, but these people are 100% no give up. So, you know, we'll see what happens, but I don't know how fast this judge is going to come up with this ruling. I can't think it's going to, if it comes up too fast, then you can question it. And I would think it's probably going to be a couple months or longer. So let the milk flow in the meantime. And I guess everybody will deal with whatever comes down after that. But in the end, it will be a win for the good guys. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I guess we're just about out of time. And if anybody sees any warm weather kicking around, could you send it our way? Global warming seems to have bypassed our neck of the woods here. It's been considerably cooler than it should be, and damper than it should be. And according to global warming, it ought to be dry and hot, but it's not. So I'm thinking that maybe they lied to us. Is that possible? Is it possible that they lied to us and that maybe global warming is just another one of their mechanisms to trap us? Nah, they wouldn't do that, would they? I think right now after this show, I'm going to have myself a nice cold tall glass of raw milk, of which some very nice farmers gave me yesterday. After court was over. So I think that's what I'll do. Maybe we'll make a milkshake or something. Put a smile on my face. Anyways, what is it? We're just about Italian here. Oh shit. Oh, I'm going to read some of this stuff in the chat after this. Anyways, thanks for tuning in, everybody. It's Rock the Boat up Coast, Ron Stevens. And we shall be back here same time, same place. Okay? Everybody take care. Have a fan. Lower classes, social slime. They don't matter. Genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back. It's only for the war. They shoot, they kill, they master cocaine. They burn the kids. No one makes gun. Trees lie to your face. Fight and die. Cause God forgives. This is
is Ozzy Skateboard, and you're listening to U2.